The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, welcome back once again to God Calling. It's nice to have you here. Hope you'll join us each and every week. Our guest today is Father Andrew Hoover. Father is currently at St. Ambrose, a very busy guy, which is because it's a very, very busy parish. Father, welcome, first of all, to God Calling.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Father, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Grafton. It's kind of funny when I got to the seminary, everybody always asked, where are you from? You know, and I would say Grafton because I was, you know,
right.
But we were kind of out in the township. So my home parish is actually Our Lady Help of Christians in Litchfield.
Oh.
But, you know, we were far enough north. We were part of the Midview School District. And, you know, so I was always from Grafton until I entered the seminary. Then I became from Litchfield.
So, okay. So you grew up in that particular parish. Now, do you Catholic schools, public schools?
No, we were public schools. You know, part of it was, we were out in the country and there weren't a lot of good options, but also have five siblings. So, you know, I'm sure that played a part in,
yeah.
in my parents' choices. And so public schools all the way.
Yeah. When did you first have an inkling?
You know, it really wasn't until college. I mean, it was never on my radar. I always had plans to do really anything else. It wasn't until junior year of college that I even began to ask the question, you know, what does God want me to do with my life? That was a process itself. You know, I mean, that took a few years. And as I look back, I wasn't considering the priesthood earlier than that. But I look back to high school, and I was trying to answer a call of sorts, mm-hmm. you know, and when you look back through your life, you know, things, you see them a little bit differently on the other side, right? So
sure.
When I was in high school, I got to the point where, you know, I always wanted to do something big. You know, there was a time I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon because, you know, it helped people in a particular way, but you also got to play with power tools, putting people back together,
for
you know,
sure.
It was a, you know, a great idea, but I settled on being a teacher and coach. You know, that's what I really wanted to do, you know, in high school and then into college. That's what my degree was. But as I look back at that, even that was a call that God could place on my heart that I was ready to respond to at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, as I grew and, you know, converted more and more, that deeper calling was something that came out later on.
You mentioned helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly teaching is helping people, younger people.
Absolutely.
And you did that for a couple of years.
Yeah. So I spent 2 years teaching high school. I was certified to teach chemistry and physics to grade 7 to 12 and coached middle school football and one season of it was ninth grade basketball. And it was really a great experience. And having an influence in just the regular everyday part of young people's lives was just a particularly good thing.
Now, does that translate well down to St. Ambrose with the kids?
Yeah, I think it does. For one thing, the familiarity. And, you look back, you see things differently. You look back as an adult and you think you understood everything time, you know, and the experience with the kids in the classroom, in the youth group, on the sports field or court. It was a place of growing and in understanding of other young people's minds. Being able to grow into real leadership, you know. One of the best experiences I had during that time was coaching the ninth grade basketball team. And I tell people I didn't grow up playing basketball, but the one season or after a year being at the school, the varsity coach came to me and said, Hoover, I need a coach. I'm like, Nick, I never played basketball. He's like, yeah, but you know the basics, like double dribbling and traveling, right, and things like that. And I'm like, yeah, coach, that's really basic, right? He said, that's fine. I'll coach you up. You'll understand it all. So he spent the off season, teaching me how the defense actually works, how an offense moves. And, the kids figured out that I wasn't a basketball player, right? They figured that much out. But at the end of the season, the one kid said, we went 8-8, right? With decent season. One of our best player played junior varsity. But at the end of the season, he said, you know, coach, you were a lot better than I thought you were going to be.
How's that for a compliment?
Oh my gosh. From a backhand of backhands. But you know what? It was actually really encouraging, I figured it out, yeah. and had a positive impact. You know?
Are there similarities between that and the kids today, coaching them maybe toward a more spiritual life?
I think so. I think the biggest difference is probably in a lot of young people, convincing them that they want this. That's the difference, like at a ninth grade level, those kids still think they're going to play in the NBA, they really want to, they've got a different inner drive to go do this. And today it's trying to set the spark that they realize, no, this is even better than, the other things that I pursue. So that's kind of the starting point and the difference, that if you can get them on board, then yeah, I mean, if they see it, absolutely. I mean, the coaching in a sense is the same, but.
Tell me about growing up. Mass every week, and eight people in the house, right?
Right. Yeah. So there was eight people in the house, and my parents did a really good job of just setting the expectations. We were always going to be in Mass on Sunday. We were always going to make the sacraments. We were always going to, things like confession, usually, at least once a year, and things like that. So it was just a regular part of our lives, and growing up early on, at least. I'm not sure when, we transitioned into praying on our own, if you will. But I remember a long, long period of time where, we were always going to gather in the living room and pray prayers together before we went to bed, prayers before meals, things like that. So the outline was always there, and it really served us well. I mean, I think me and my siblings all have a certain level of faith and participate in things in various ways. But yeah, there was always just the expectation that this is going to be a part of your life. You know?
Where do you fall in the lineup
of kids?
So I'm
the third of the six, and there's two girls bookends and four boys in the middle. So
okay.
Third overall, second boy.
Father, stay right there. We'll pick that up right there when we come back after this message on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. You're listening to God Calling. Thank you once again for joining us. We hope you will each and every week at this time. Father Andrew Hoover is joining us. Father, again, you discerned this call, entered the seminary. What was that like?
As I mentioned earlier, it just started with the question, God, what do you want me to do? There came a point in my life where, I mentioned that faith was always there. The outline was there. And as I went to Bowling Green State University, it was still there. I went to Mass pretty much every Sunday. But there just came a point in time where I started asking the bigger questions, like, why am I getting this degree? Why am I pursuing this way of life? Just why did I do this again? And it came a reality that I needed to be anchored in my faith and my identity in Christ in a way that I had not before. And as I started thinking about those things, I said, wait a second, I need to be asking this question of God. And it really was a time of significant and deepening conversion in my own life. So it started with that question, God, what do you want me to do? But when you plan for 21 years to do anything other than being a priest, it's really hard to be honest with the inklings of your heart to go a different direction. So, there wasn't quite enough time for me to shake it out before the end of college. So I obviously graduated with that degree in education and went on to teach for a couple of years. But, I had spoken with Father Michael Gernick right after graduation. And I told him, I said, look, if God wants me here, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years later, I was. And, there are so many different things, I could talk about in that journey. One of the really neat ones was I knew that I needed God to break into my life, to give me that direction at that time, right after graduation. And there was a group of students from the parish there in Bowling Green and some year-round parishioners who went on a pilgrimage to Rome, Assisi, and Fatima. right after graduation. So I took the last of my savings and went with the group. And, you know, I made the intention of that pilgrimage to know God's will for my life and desire it. And the whole 10 days, it was an incredible trip. And every time we had a chance to stop and pray before, you know, the San Damiano crucifix or wherever else in Fatima, you know, I would always stop and ask the question. But it's funny because I can look back at even my journal from the time and recognize I was answering the question for myself, you know, like, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, I want you to go get married and have a family and teach and all those things. And so it's kind of funny to look back. But the really incredible thing was after those 2 years of teaching, or not even the full 2 years, but I came a point in time where God changed my heart in that way. I realized one morning. And I tell people I know exactly where I was. I was driving the car back from whatever it was, basketball practice or daily mass on a Saturday. And I'm sitting at the railroad tracks on Cable Road and it hit me. Holy smokes. No matter what it is that God wants me to do, I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to make me, you know, the most fulfilled in my life. So long story short, Father Gernick actually called me on May 13th of 2010 to tell me that I was accepted to the seminary. Well, what's okay. May 13th? It's the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Uh-huh. So 2 years later, you know, our Blessed Mother really came through in a beautiful way to just affirm, hey, I've had your back this whole time. You know, even when you were confused, you know, I was helping this along and, yeah. you know, helping the Spirit change your heart and place.
Something you said earlier was interesting. So you had inquired about the seminary earlier, a year or two before you went there?
Yep.
How important is that for somebody that might be thinking about it? Just to have that exposure to, if you know it's a possibility, don't say no right away.
Right, right.
You didn't say necessarily no, but it was a delayed. And I wonder if you hadn't taught for a couple of years, if you might wonder if you should have done that.
Right. It's a variety of things. I mean, as I mentioned, it took me a while to come to a, you know, even an openness to God's true will for my life. I kind of needed that time too, just to improve, I don't know. It's life formation. You know, it was just, it was what I needed, you know, before entering the seminary for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Like you said, maybe not to second guess a different way of life, but also, you know, the familiarity with people and just all sorts of things. So, you know, I think it's important to make the inquiry. I always tell people, you're never signing your life away on day one. You mm-hmm. know, you can have a conversation about this and not be locked in, you know? Sure. I mean, it's a long process. There is a lot of evaluation. There's, you know, self-reflection and other people's approval and all sorts of things. I mean, one conversation with the vocation director is never, you know, signing your life away. So
being out and teaching, how daunting to now know that you're going to be going to the seminary for what, probably another 5 years?
Yeah, well, and that was part of it. You know, remember I told you I thought about being an orthopedic surgeon,
right.
But one of the things that deterred me was I didn't want to go to school for 10 years.
So what do you end up doing?
I went to school for 10 years.
Oh, that's.
But you know what? It was different. I mean, by the time I got to the seminary, is a place of discernment. But for some people, you kind of have a pretty good sense that once you get there, that this is where I'm going to end up. So, mm-hmm. And that was my experience because I had taken steps, and this was my discernment, you know. And it's pretty solid, at least in a basic outline of Ignatian discernment, you know, like. How do you make a decision? You know, once you come to a certain level of understanding of what you think you should be doing, you've got to take steps towards it. You know, so at that time, I somewhat genuinely believed that I was going to be married, have a family, be a teacher for the rest of my career, right? So I take steps towards that. Mm-hmm. And as I did, you know, that's what allowed God to break in and say, hey, Andrew, like this is good. I really want you to consider this, you know. I won't get into all the different stories, but I'll share one that I think communicates it. You know, right after I graduated, I was dating a girl who was still, she was doing a victory lap at Bowling Green, mm-hmm. and I was down in Lima. It was about an hour away. So I remember from time to time, you know, I would be on the phone with my girlfriend, right? And every once in a while, this thought of, you should go to the seminary would pop into my head. And I would almost like smack myself, like, where did that come from? You know, well, it was God, right? Really breaking in, like, hey, you know, I just, it's an interruption. We interrupt this conversation to, you know.
Your vocation mm-hmm. be- became stronger in college at a time when a lot of people, a lot of kids are drifting away. They're away from home for the first time. I'm not going. I was out Saturday night. I'm not going
right.
to mass that. So you were kind of flowing against the tide, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, there was times where that flow was turbulent, if you will. But but yeah, I mean, to your point, I always had that weekly reset and check in with the Lord. And yeah, it was tough. It really was.
Well, you became a priest. We're going to continue with that right after this on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Father Andrew Hoover is our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello again. Father Andrew Hoover is our guest on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Father, you talked earlier about your family life having an outline. How important is that? And do you see that today? Our families praying together. Our families at church every Sunday, typically in the same pew. Or has that changed to some extent?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's pretty easy to see that those sorts of things have changed. And I think it's one of the most challenging things. You know, even it's funny, like sometimes people understand that the best parenting advice comes from somebody who's not actually a parent. You know, sometimes it's really hard to convince people that, you know, you might, you know a better way. But you know, one of the things I look at today is just that, like there's a lot of teenagers who, you know, their parents just give them the option, you know, do you want to, are you coming with me or you know, are you going to stay here? And I'm thinking to myself, like, as a parent, you know, if your teenager came to you and said, I'm not going to eat food anymore, what would you say?
Right.
You know, no, you're going to eat, you know, well, it's the same thing spiritually. And a lot of times people say they don't want to push them away and they don't want to do this, that, and the other thing. But at the same time, I think about my own faith, and part of what kept me going when things were difficult was the fact that it was such a force of habit. And that wasn't wrong, you know, that wasn't totally against my will growing up, you know, it wasn't anything like that. In fact, it was the formation that I needed and my parents needed to give me as a, even just, let's just say under 18, you know, if you're under 18, you're gonna come to mass with me, you know, things like that. And I know it's difficult, you know, and I don't have the teenager at home to, you know, to deal with. But at the same time, it is what we need, you know.
Yeah, my parents gave me an option as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're going or else.
Yeah, right.
That's,
right.
That's the way it was in those days, you know. You had an internship at St. Raphael's, which is not far from me.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful parish.
Absolutely.
Your role there was kind of interesting because you were there both as a seminarian, and then after a while, you got your transitional diaconate. So those two roles, how did that help your call?
Yeah, that was a beautiful year. It really was. And Father Tim Groh and Father Ryan Cubero was there at the time. I was, and actually Father Al Krupp was in residence. So it was a beautiful witness on their parts to the beauty of ministry and the priesthood. And you know, it's interesting as a seminarian and then as a cleric. One of the things that I really came to clarity during that time was that it's easy sometimes for people in formation to live and minister from a identity of I'm a seminarian. And sometimes, you know, that could carry into, okay, I'm a deacon. And I don't know how much this will make sense to people, but I think it's really helpful just to make the distinction. You're always serving from a place first of I am beloved son of the Father. I'm baptized first and I am whatever. I'm Andrew Hoover. I just so happen to be in formation for the priesthood. And I just so happen to be a deacon and in this role for you. Now I'm preaching. Now you're learning to trust the kid with the word of God, you know, and try to open your hearts to him and things like that. And it was just a place of great, I guess, growth and clarity in those things too, approaching the priesthood. Having that opportunity to serve in a variety of ways and really an extraordinarily supportive community as well.
That's a wonderful parish.
Yeah, it really is. And there's Father Mark Hollis was the spiritual director at the seminary for a long time. And he used to quote some of the old timers. And one of the things, no, this was his own experience. That's what it was. He described the communities he was in as loving him into the priesthood. And loving him into being a pastor, you know, and in some ways that's what St. Raphael's was like. They loved me into the diaconate. It was really good to be with them.
2016, you get out and you go to St. Peter's in North Ridgeville, another wonderful parish.
Absolutely.
Active parish.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that like though? First homily, let's say, or, you know, now you're the man.
Right. You know, there's something about it that's incredibly exciting and incredibly daunting at the same time. I tell people we can underestimate the stress of that transition, you know, mm-hmm. from not priest to priest. So in a lot of ways, just the fact of it is hard. But the beautiful thing is that this community entrusts itself to you. And that itself is humbling. Father Franco was very helpful just in navigating those times. And really, from the people who, you know, were there every morning at daily mass and praying rosaries, to the people we saw in the hospitals, to golf course ministry, you know, mm-hmm. you got to join the golf league if
and
you can.
There you go.
You know,
sure.
I mean, all these different areas of the parish were just really great. And yeah, it's just a blessing to be yeah. there. Really.
In 2020, you went to St. Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
There, I think the bulletin is like a phone book.
It's a weekly magazine.
I teased Father Bob about it when he was in a couple of months back. But
right.
But a very, very busy parish. And yeah. we got a little time, you know, 4 years under your belt now. And
right.
So another blessing, I take it. You said early
Absolutely.
On that you wanted a large parish because
yeah,
you come from a small one.
Right, exactly. So growing up and even in college, my experience was with a smaller community. So just to know what the other side of the world was like in mm-hmm. that regard. And, you know, it's funny, when I got the assignment to St. Ambrose, I was like, St. Ambrose, like, because we have a little bit of a conversation, you know, in transitions leading up to the assignments. And you know, I'm just thinking to myself, did I ask for that? You know, I told Father Bob this after I got there, you know, and I look back, I said, I really did. That's exactly what I wanted, you know, mm-hmm. and this is exactly what I got. And, you know, the great thing about it, as big as it is, there's also the recognition that you're not responsible for more than you're responsible for. You know, Father Bob's really good about saying to everybody, I need you to be the best you that you are. I don't need you to be anybody else. You know, mm-hmm. I need you to be you in whatever area of ministry you're taking part in. So there's a lot of freedom in that, and being able to contribute where you're called again. And as a priest, you know, you're called in a variety of different directions. But yeah, it has really been a great experience.
Yeah. You know? Just about out of time. I didn't get to making beer with your father.
Oh, darn the luck, you know.
Father, somebody thinking about a vocation,
mm-hmm.
keep your ears open, pray. Any other suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe just zeroing in on some of those things we mentioned earlier. Don't be afraid to have a conversation, and don't be afraid to take a step in a direction. Give God permission to change your heart for what he wants for you. He's going
to
do it.
Great way to end. Father, thanks so much. Father Andrew Hoover joining us. We hope you'll join us each and every week here on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.